Those of you that were here for the dinner, did you get enough? Oh, that was good. That was some good stuff back there. Let me just cover a few things with you. First of all, we have to do this. We have to judge the pork that we ate tonight. And so we had Josh, he did 25 pounds of it, and Barry did 25 pounds of it. And I need to know whose was better. So we're just going to have kind of like a little clap off. And my clap meter, okay? Yeah, clap on, clap off, right? Oh, boy. Yeah. And I'm watching Carlton. He's up there next to the light board right now. Yeah. Okay, so let's go ahead and start with Josh's creation that he had. And his fine cuisine, and based on all of his years of study in the culinary arts, right? Right. And so, what color was your table? Blue, right? Yes, his was the blue table. And how many of you liked Josh's meat? You know, I saw some people that weren't even clapping. So that wasn't even a one. Your daughter wasn't even clapping. Okay, how many of y'all like Barry's meat? Okay, so I understand you're probably a little bit shy if you were a Josh fan, okay? So let's give you another shot. How many of you like Josh's meat? And Barry's? Okay, could you two guys come up here, please? It kind of sounded like a tie, so we're going to do paper, rock, scissors real quick here before we get into this here, okay? Arm wrestle? All right, no, okay, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay.
You know how to break, pop, rock, what are we doing?
Paper, rock, scissors.
All right,
go. Okay, we're going to go 3 out of 5, Josh.
Yeah. I didn't even go 2 out of 3 yet.
I know it. Yeah, 3 out of 5, go. 1, 2... Ah, that's 2. You got 1 more. Okay. 1, 2. You know, there is paper in there, too. Paper, rock, scissors. Yeah! Okay. All right. Hold on. There you go, Barry. There's a gift card for you, and also for you, because we feel bad. You know, I had to give him one. I felt bad because he literally lost every single time tonight, so just to make him feel better. But the gift card is actually just appreciation for those guys getting up early this morning to start their smokers and get the meat going and keep it going all day long, and we certainly do appreciate that. This morning I had mentioned family camp, and my wife and I used to take our kids to family camp many, many years in a row when they were younger. Best vacations with our family ever. Absolutely, hands down, best vacations. It was fun, but the emphasis was on the Word of God for the whole family all week long. And there was growth and there was change as a result of those vacations. I want to emphasize the Bible school tonight as we really jump into it tomorrow night. The emphasis is going to be on the Word of God. Yes, we're going to have fun. Absolutely. Okay? And if you were here last year, you kind of know what's in store. We are going to have fun, but we're going to have an emphasis on the Word of God. This could change your family, folks. This could really change your family. Someone this morning had shared with me after Mike had preached a decision that they had made themselves personally. I wonder, how many of you have your devotions on something like this? An electronic device of some sort, okay? All right, so what happens? You get up in the morning and you open up your Bible, and then up in the notification bar at the top, you see you've got an email. And the curiosity, oh, let me just see who that is. And you see who it is, and you open it, and you read it. And then you get back to your Bible. But in the meantime, Facebook sends you a notification or some other social media. Well, I'll just go check that. And then you get into that and then you see another one. And then you want to check on this person you've been praying for. Next thing you know, 30 minutes has gone by and you haven't even gotten to your Bible yet. And now it's time to go to work or get ready for your day. And they had decided we're just going to do devotions in the old fashioned book. A real book, you know, a Bible, hold it in her hands. And praise the Lord for the preaching today. It'll change you. It will change you if your heart's open and ready for it. I think our hearts here are open and ready for the Word of God. Now, everyone on the piano side is going to be the green team, and your captains are Captain Barry, okay? And also Captain Kurt, I'm sorry. yeah. And everyone on the organ side, yours is the blue team, okay? And your fearless captains are Captain Josh and Captain Monty. Where are you? Dun-da-da. If anyone wears tights, captains, Josh is too eager to do that.
I'm not showing up.
Yeah. So where you're sitting right now, that's the team you're on. If you're not coming back tomorrow night, well, you'll just be hurting your team, okay? But those will be your teams. When you leave tonight, we have some wristbands for you to wear. Blue, green. Put them on tonight so you don't lose them. You say, oh, no, Pastor, I got to work tomorrow. I have a doctor appointment. Someone will see it. They'll point at it. They'll say, what's that for? And you can say, I'm glad you asked. And you can tell them about All Family Bible School and invite them to come with you tomorrow night, okay? So that's what's going to take place after church is over with tonight. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer, and then we'll have our guys come up for our offering tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love. Thank you for just the goodness, Lord, of your mercy and your grace. And even as we've been looking and learning about grace recently, Lord, I pray that the amazingness of your grace would become more and more apparent to us, that you would teach us more about that, about your mercy and your love, and how we might, in being Christ-like, show that to others. Lord, we thank you that we can be here tonight. We look forward to what you have for us in the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, could you come on up, please? All right. Now, we're going to do an offering a little bit differently tonight. We're actually going to be the offertory. So be ready to sing. The words will be on the screen for us as Mike leads us on his guitar. Well, let's go ahead and pray for the offering, too. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunities we have to give and to say thank you through our giving. Lord, I pray this would be of a real pure worship from our heart here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hopefully all of you are familiar with this song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. this before. You'll probably remember back in 2009, I did a couple of CDs. I did a fun time CD called whynotlaugh.comedy. And it's just a bunch of goofy songs that I've written or remodeled. I took 25 adults and put them in a recording studio. And what you get is what we did. We did very little editing. When we messed up, we kept going on and made fun of each other and all that good stuff. But it's just a hoot and a holler. And then I did a sacred CD. There are 12 songs that I've written and five fully orchestrated, the other guitar, cello, violin. I think some of you have that also. But it was just a joy to be a part of that. Now, what I'm doing, or in the process of doing, I've written several songs for that one-eyed guy, Patch the Pirate. You know who I'm talking about? Yeah, a real dear friend of mine. Pray for Ron. He's going through some very physical difficulties as far as his memory and started dementia and all that sort of thing. So the wiring's messed up as far as his performing or his ministry's concerned. And he's dealing with it just as joyously as Ron deals with anything, but having some real difficult times. Well, several years ago, he asked me to collaborate with him and use some of my songs for his Patch the Pirate production. Well, I gave him over the years probably 7 or 8 or 9 songs. And of course, he made him more popular and famous than I ever could imagine. You know, he's got a worldwide ministry, to say the least. But I've got another probably 7 or 8 or 9 that I didn't give him because I wanted to record them myself. The reason I haven't done that yet is because I haven't had any vocal power or presentation to do that. So I'm kind of back strengthening my voice, getting back the volume, the control. You'll find this out tonight. I'm not sure what I am anymore. I know my sexual orientation. Okay, I'm a guy. I know that's confusing today. But my voice, I'm not sure if I'm a baritone or hitting on the soprano high tenor range. It just, when they messed with my vocal cords, I think they must have tightened it up a notch or two. Because even when I play songs, I'm going, boy, I used to sing that without much trouble. Now it's like, that's way too low. I've turned into a woman. That's kind of what I think and stuff. But pray for me because I've got all the songs, scored out and ready to go. But I haven't had, again, the vocal power to be able to do the recording. Now, it could be a twofold thing, and I need your prayers with this. I like to do what's called a whiteboard video. Do y'all know what I mean by that? You've seen commercials where they're doing a commercial, but as they're giving you the commercial, they draw it out or write it out. I'd like to do that with the kids' songs because, as a lot of you folks know, the kids' songs that I've written, most of them have actions to them. And you'll get tortured by that this week with our family vacation Bible school type of thing. But just pray that I'll get that project done sooner than later. And I don't want it to die with me. I want it to keep on keeping on ministering impact long after I've passed off the scene. Now, to make this a little simpler, give the guys a break up top. We're going to do a song I think you'll all know, but if you don't know it, it doesn't matter because I'm going to give you the words. Aren't I a good evangelist? It's an older song called I Sing a New Song. Do y'all remember that? Let's try it together. I sing a new song. See what happens? I sing a verse and you repeat. For those who aren't familiar with this, let's try that again, okay? I thought you knew it better than that. I'm sorry. I sing a new song.
I sing a new song.
Since Jesus came.
Jesus came.
Serve a new master.
Serve a new master.
Wear a new name.
Wear a new name.
Walk a new road.
Walk a new road.
Have a new goal.
Have a new goal.
Know a new peace.
Know a new peace.
Then we sing Down Deep in My Soul together.
Down deep in my soul.
Let's pick it up a little bit. I sing a new song.
I sing a new song.
Since Jesus came.
Since Jesus came.
Serve a new master.
Serve a new master.
Wear a new name.
Wear a new name.
Walk a new road.
Walk a new road.
Have a new goal.
Have a new goal.
Know a new peace.
Know a new peace.
I couldn't do that a year ago. I just like to show off. Then let's say it together. Ready?
Down deep in my soul.
Now, going to show you something. Several years ago, I had a guy travel with me by the name of Mel Hart. He grew up in Normal, Illinois, and a very talented guy. And he was in a pressure situation in junior church where the director of junior church says, in just a moment, Mr. Barth is going to come and do actions till I sing a new song. Now, if you've done these in the past, now you're going to know where this came from. Mel under the gun, he's not the most creative animal in the world, but he came up to the mark, mark right there as far as that's concerned. So this is what he came up with in the spot. You got to do the actions with me, okay? Remember, I like crowd participation. Get your hands up like this. Put them up close to your mouth and repeat after me. I sing a new song.
I sing a new song.
Since Jesus came.
Since Jesus came.
Serve a new master.
Serve a new master.
Where Rising people and ex-hippies, you can do this if you want to, okay? Here's the discreet part. Watch me. I may fall over. Girls, be careful. Down deep in my soul. Pretty clever, huh? Let's try it again. You're doing real good. Give me a little more volume. I sing a new song.
I sing a new song.
Since Jesus came.
Since Jesus came.
Serve a new master.
Serve a new master.
Said you did a marvelous job with that. Yes, you did. Now, in the midst of my vocal dilemma, I still wanted to sing. I still wanted to write songs, but I really wasn't motivated. You know, I don't read music. I write music, I record music, I perform it all the time, as you know, but I was always either too lazy or not smart enough to learn all that music stuff that comes off a written piece of paper. Now, I can give you the basics of it. I know music theory just out of practical doing it for so many years. But I wrote a song in the midst of my dilemma called The Lord Is There, and it goes like this. The Lord is there through when every day awakens. The Lord is there when in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight. The Lord is there. He will never forsake his own. And that is too low for me. I feel like such a girl. All right, let me try that again. You know, now this is the ego and the pride of a musician. When it doesn't come out the way you want to it, you're not thinking about the words. You don't care about the people singing with you. You're just going, I hate this presentation. It's just a part of the flesh I'm in. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to sing, The Lord is there. And you're going to say, He's always there. When every day awakens, The Lord is there. He's always there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope elude your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake his own. Can we try that again? The Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. He's always there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope elude your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. And never forsake his own.
Ron Hamilton's not only having trouble in his aging life, so am I. But I haven't been performing, folks, for almost 3 years in this fashion. The first real sacred, serious song I even tried to sing was a week ago Sunday when I was up in Flushing. And they loved it, and I was just, again, pride-filled, irritated the whole time because it wasn't quite on the level that I was used to or wanted to do. But let's try the chorus one more time. Ready? The Lord is there. He's always there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. He's always there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake His own. I'll try to get a verse out here to let you know how this goes. In this world are many people living life in despair, consumed with the thought nobody cares, forsaken, forgotten, or in brokenness of heart. Brokenness of heart. There's only one always there when a life falls apart. Got through that. Let's try it. The Lord is there. He's always there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. He's always there. When left you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake His own. Let me try another one here, since I've got you here. No, if I can remember, let me go here. Maybe not. The Lord is there. When every day awakens, the Lord is there. When in life you feel forsaken, in the loneliness of night, or when hope eludes your sight, the Lord is there. He's always there. He will never forsake His own. He will never forsake His own. Glad that's done. Glad that's done. I've got to make myself do it because, you know, as a young performer, and I'm not young anymore, I don't care how brazen and bold they appear to be, they're all a nervous wreck. Are you with me here? Anybody that's a musician, done any kind of public speaking, I don't care how seasoned you are, it's still a nerve-wracking event. So I got to get past some of the newness of what I'm doing as far as my music. I appreciate, now, I do fun songs. It's like I'm unconscious, okay? I'm just as obnoxious as ever. And even many times when I do the kids' songs, but there are opportunities, again, to go into brain dead mode and not really remember your name. Do you realize, you folks past 50, that God has blessed you? You know, He has. You have trouble remember where your glasses are, your keys. Some, at your stage, you don't even remember what your name is. And that's why God has blessed you with a driver's license with a picture. So you can go, oh, that's who I am. It'd be funny if it wasn't true. All right. Well, I've got just an encouraging message here tonight, and I think this will be a blessing to you. Hope it will be. And we're just going to have a great time around the Word of God, as pastors mentioned. I had one request so far from the CD, the Fun Time CD, and it's from one of the carnal families in church, the guy that won the barbecue thing, his family. They say, Brother Maynard, can we sing I Bought My Wife a Dozer because a Hoover wouldn't do? I said, well, maybe we can work that in before the week's over, but we're not going to do it tonight. So let's go ahead and bow our heads and hearts. Let's ask God to do a work within so we can do a better work without in this lost and dying world. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for this morning. God, how you just were obviously in our midst. Lord, we're looking forward to your working here tonight. Lord, I believe this is the message you'd have me present to this very wonderful group of people. Lord, thank you already for the food and fellowship that we've enjoyed. Lord, the demonstration of your mercy, love, and grace, even in the midst of hardship, a difficult situation, Lord, I see the hope and the rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Lord, that's the way we're supposed to respond. And Lord, again, circumstances, situations, sometimes it's just a bunch of junk. But Lord, even in the hardest of situations, you are there. And you're there to bring into our hearts and through our lives the testimony, Lord, you deserve to have set forth. But Lord, also the testimony that this hopeless world has around us, and they have no help or no example of what help is or where help comes from. Let them see that through us. God, fill our brains. Control our thought process. God, fill our hearts with your truths. And Lord, tonight, help us joyously to come before the throne of your glorious, glorious throne of grace and working and receive joyfully the truths from the Word of God this hour. Thank you, Lord, and praise you now for this opportunity, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I remembered the second verse. The Lord is the answer to the troubles we bear. He brings peace to a heart when nobody cares. With things or people, disappointment life brings, when the Lord saves your soul, with joy you can sing. The Lord is there, the Lord is there. I knew it would come up sometime before I died. Now, this morning I was talking about things that have happened since I was here. Beautiful auditorium. You're being good stewards of this place. Just don't love this place more than you love Jesus. You know, a lot of people, when they have something this nice or this comfortable, they kind of get focused on that instead of Him, and do that to God be the glory, great things He had done. I like what you've done in the fellowship, Paul, and you just, it's just a good testimony. You know, it's not gaudy, it's not over the top, it's just very, very, very nicely done. And God gave you wisdom and gave you some good discernment in the midst of all of that. And I'm sure not everybody was happy. There's always a gum bumper in the crowd. Now, don't point if they're in the room, okay? But there's always, every ministry, every secular, sacred, people-oriented, whatever, there always seems to be somebody in this mindset, well, if you're not going to do it my way, I'm just going to take my ball and go home. This is carnal, I know, but here's what I want to say. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Hope you have a good life. You know, because you just think, boy, you're a downer Debbie here or something. You're just not really seeing the big picture of how wonderful our God is and what God is alive, well, and doing in our midst. But here's something that happened. Now, in Illinois, I'm not sure they brought this news out because of the political, you know, little slant, especially up towards Chicago. But do you all know we have a new president? Do you? Did you all get as sick and tired as I did during the voting process? You know, all these debates and things. And there was one phrase that just showed up all the time, whether it's out of Hillary's mouth or President Trump's mouth. It was this one. Trust me. Believe me. I'm being honest with you. Well, what were they doing the rest of the time? That was my thought. But folks, why are we so apprehensive or even this way as far as statements like that? Now, kids, maybe you haven't learned this yet, but most of us in this room have been burnt. Burnt by people who say one thing, but they don't back it up with what they said they're going to do, whether it's a car dealer, whether it's a politician, or maybe it's even a preacher. We have learned over the years that not everybody is, here's the big word of the hour, trustworthy. Now, folks, we don't want to be paranoid, do we? We don't think there's a bad guy behind every bush, even though they're around and behind a lot of bushes. But we want to be responsible and discerning how we approach relationships, especially with the people around us in this world. And folks, even be discerning and ask God's discernment when dealing even with believers in Christ Jesus. Now, I grew up where your word was enough. Y'all remember the Leave It to Beaver era of life? We had a car dealership. I shared that this morning. And I sold cars with a handshake. I did. They didn't have to sign a contract. Then we eventually did. And there's some even back in that era of time that would take advantage of you. But you know what? It was just a different time of life. Aren't you glad God's word is still trustworthy? Aren't you glad that God is still trustworthy and His word is enough? Folks, from Genesis to Revelation, what does God repeat? He says, trust me. And there should be no doubt or hesitation, but sadly, too many times, we really don't trust in the Lord. Now, even in the situation you're involved with, you know what eats us alive sometimes? The what-if monster. You know what I'm talking about? What if this happens? Well, what about that? I think we're supposed to cast our care upon Him and trust and obey what, folks? For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Folks, I've been doing this ministry business for over 30 years. And I've seen situations like you're going through that blew up a church from the inside out. I don't think that's going to happen here. I don't think you're anywhere close to that kind of thinking or response. But don't be that kind of pawn or tool in the hand of the devil himself. Folks, let's communicate biblically. You got a question, guess how you find an answer? You go to pastor. You go talk to a deacon. Don't let your flesh take you where God commands you not to go. Don't be a divider. Build the unity in Christ Jesus with the principles and truths of the blessed word of God. But why is it? Now, this is not just circumstances you're facing right now, but life in general. Why are we too many times a nervous wreck? Why are we that way? Man, we ate all our fingernails off. Some of you are gross enough. You've got down to your toenails. And it's just that you're just a basket case nervous wreck. I think I know the reason. We don't like it when we're not in charge. Or we're not in control as such of our own destiny. Now, I can say this as a 60-some-year-old guy. I want to fix it myself. But that's not the way it's supposed to go. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And what? He shall and will direct your path. We don't want to have the situation, the pressure, where we, again, don't fix what the problem is. But y'all know what the real bottom line difficulty is? We really don't trust the Lord. And therefore, we wonder why we get into a mess and our life becomes non-impacting. Or again, we make a bigger mess than what was already there messed up. It's because, folks, we don't truly, biblically trust the Lord. Now, what's the depth and degree of trusting God? Well, let me give you, I could go all night long with verses, but let me give you a couple obvious ones. In Psalm 62 and verse 8, it says, trust in Him at all times. Can I have an amen from the crowd? Now, that doesn't mean when you want to check into panic mode, or again, you yield yourself to that what-if monster. No, folks, trust in the Lord all the time. He's not surprised by what takes place in your life or in this church or anybody else's life. God knows all, beginning to the end, and everything goes on before it even happens, people. Trust in Him at all times. Now, if I was to pick out two pet verses of fundamental Bible-believing church, it would be these two verses, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, I'm not going to have you quote the whole passage there as far as those verses, but I'm going to give you this aspect of those verses. It says, trust in the Lord in all thy ways. Again, from Genesis to Revelation, God cries out very clearly, trust in me. Now, here's a good statement I found. Trust is found in the unswerving belief that the God of heaven will indeed work on our behalf to bring His perfect will for our lives into being. Let me say it again. I read a little fast. Trust is found in the unswerving belief that the God of heaven will indeed work on our behalf to bring His perfect will for our lives into being. Now, I know the answer. I'm going to ask it anyway. Is God trustworthy? Some of you are a little slow and hesitant. Let me ask you again so you can participate with the rest of us. Is God trustworthy?
Yes.
We're not real good at it, are we? One man said it this way. He said, trusting God is against human nature. So how do we fix that and make sure that carnal choosing or that fleshly perspective does not get in our head, consume our hearts, and direct our lives? Well, here's how I want to approach this tonight. How do you establish trust or trustworthiness in just a human relationship? Well, you first of all need to establish that relationship, right? Yeah, and then you go into search and seizure mode. And you find out the depth of character, integrity of that person you're looking to trust or not trust. You kind of learn as the relationship grows how trustworthy they truly are. But folks, listen, here's where we come to a difficult part of life's choosing. You still have to make a choice to trust or not trust. That's where we come into a hard, difficult choice of life. Now, it's the same way with the Lord. Well, no wonder you don't trust Him if you don't know Him. You've not established a relationship with Him. Therefore, you have an outward, maybe academic perspective of who God is, but you really don't know Him in an intimate, personal, biblical, know-so way. Secondly, you need to find the depth of who God is. And boy, the more you spend time with Him, the deeper and more intimate and blessed your relationship will be. And folks, the more you spend time with Him, the greater understanding of trustworthiness you'll have in your mind and heart. But here's where the trouble comes. You got to make a choice. To trust Him or trust your flesh. To trust what man says versus what God says. To really trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Because, folks, what you're going to learn, God is trustworthy. And you're not going to know that if you kind of, again, haphazardly or very lackadaisically just approach the Word of God to know who God is and to truly, in a deep heart, understanding that God is trustworthy. Now, here's the passage for tonight. I think this is just a good passage to go to anytime. But take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. My pastor calls this the stay faithful charge. I dubbed it the fret not passage or the trust God passage. And this is going to be refreshing. This may be a revelation for some of you. But folks, get your pencil ready and mark up your Bible, the workbook called the Word of God, as I go through this psalm tonight. Psalm 37, and it starts out with two important words, fret not. Well, what about that? What? No, don't let that what-if monster gobble you up and spit you out and make you dysfunctional. But it talks about the world around us here where it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Folks, I just came from California. I've never seen so many Maseratis and really sweet rides in my life. Now, they're all up to hawk, you know, above their eyebrows here as far as those cars are concerned. They're just in deeper debt with bigger toys than we have. You just go buy a John Deere tractor or a Caterpillar or something. I know where I am. Okay, so you listen. We've got to not look to the world and do that envy thing. Because, folks, as it says here, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green grass. Let me give you a Midwest term. They're going to get their comeuppance. Y'all with me here? For sure, their sin will find them out. Folks, no matter how bleak and black it may be in your life, it's a lot more bleak and black for the unsaved crowd. They have no help. They have no hope. They don't have answers that we take so for granted through the promises and teaching of the Word of God. So it says here again, fret not, don't get all caught up in the hoopla of temporal things. Stay focused on the eternal as you look unto Jesus. Now, here's where you get your marking utensil out, and I want you to circle a few words, if you would, please. Look down with me in verse 3 and circle the word trust. That sounds like a familiar theme already here tonight. But also draw a line like I've done, if you would, from verse 3 down to verse 5, where it says again, trust. But the question is, who or what are we trusting in? Well, that's pretty clear here. It says, trust in the Lord. And folks, if you don't do that, you're not going to practice what's presented next. It says, trust in the Lord, and look at this, do good. And what does that involve? Just helping old ladies across the street and just becoming a better citizen of this world? Well, be a good citizen. You know, do what's needed as far as helping other people. But it, folks, it's that we're saved unto good works. We're saved to accomplish God's will for our life set forth through the Word of God. Why aren't you a soul winner? You don't trust the Lord. You're afraid they're going to ask you something that you can't answer. I got that one figured out. When they ask me something I don't know how to answer, I just said, I don't know. How about that? And I say, I'll get back with you. But what usually happens in a soul-winning endeavor, they're just trying to dodge the bullet of conviction. They're trying to distract you and deter you from the main message at hand that's pierced their ever-loving heart. But you don't go soul-winning because you don't think you can handle it. Guess what? You can't. But you can through Christ. Here's one of my favorite pet sayings as an evangelist. God will never order up in your life that which He won't in turn give you what it takes to be faithful. Isn't that exciting? God will never order up anything for your life that He won't in turn give you what it takes to get the job done. But the reason, folks, you don't go there and do that is because you really don't trust the Lord. And therefore, you're not doing what He has commanded you to be faithful to. Is there anyone here as a believer that dodged the bullet of responsibility to help people know Jesus? Well, I'm just praying about it. Well, put some coveralls on your prayers. And get out there and let people know Jesus saves, Jesus saves. So trust the Lord and do what you're here to do. Look back at the passage. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, folks, I jumped on that a little quicker here for time's sake, but that really involves every aspect of who we are in Christ, whether it's discipleship, soul winning, or just serving the way God wants us to sacrificially serve. We don't go there because of the unknown or because of the fear factors of what if, but folks, again, bottom line, we're not getting out the gate as far as trusting God. Here's another word I want you to circle, if you would, delight. Delight. Folks, Christianity, it's not supposed to be a dreaded duty. You with me? Read Psalm 119 and write down how many times it says, oh, how I love the law. It is my delight. It's my joy. I mean, it goes over and over and over again. But is it over your life presentation? Not over, but all over. It's what pours out your eyes. It comes out of your conversation. You're not a negative person. You're a rejoicing Lord always person. Again, I say rejoice. Well, Brother Maynard, that's just my personality. Well, change it. Okay? Get over yourself. Quit making excuses based on your heritage or poor fleshly choosing. And folks, let's represent Jesus the way He deserves and should be represented. And it's not walking around like your dog just got shot or your parcel's not fitting real good. Lower's good, upper bad. And you're just, I mean, you walk around like we're a bunch of losers. Folks, I've read the whole book. We win. We're winners in Christ Jesus. We need to start acting like it, don't we? And it says, delight thyself also in the Lord. And what's going to happen? He's going to bless the socks off of your ever-loving feet. He's going to put your life into working order to just experience and enjoy the fruit of faithful choosing, trusting, and obeying your God. So it goes on to say, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Oh, baby, I love that verse. Come on, mama needs a new pair of shoes. Oh, if I could get a new pickup to get a bigger gun to kill a bigger Bambi, I'm just going to be the happiest camper on the face of the earth. Don't we treat God like a genie in a lamp way too much? And if God doesn't do for me what I think should be done, I'm just not going to serve Jesus. Oh, grow up and get over yourself. It's not what you want. If you pray right, you're not going to tell God to do anything. Because you know He's smarter and knows better than you do. Folks, again, the program's ask, seek, knock. Depend upon the Lord. Now, draw a line down to verse 23, would you please? Look down at verse 23. I kind of gave him a heads up on this. It should be up on the screen. But here's the verse you probably know the best of this entire section of Scripture. It says, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. And here it is again. And he delighteth in his... Oh man, we got to go to church on Wednesday. You should be biting at the bit. I'm an old horse guy. You should be biting at the bit to get here all, even on Wednesday. But why does the crowd go from capacity, in a sense, to where's everybody out on Wednesday? Now, maybe it's different in this church. Maybe the numbers are the same, but I doubt it. But they should be. You know what's happened? You've been listening to yourself too much. And you like Van and the wheel more than you love Jesus. You all with me here? Well, Brother Maynard, I just wouldn't be able to watch Jeopardy. Don't you know those come on about the same times? And my life would just wouldn't be functional without Jeopardy and the wheel. I'm just telling you right. Can I have a duh from the crowd? Duh. That's why God gave you DVRs. But I don't know how to use it. Well, go get a 3-year-old and they'll teach you how to get it done. Yeah. But you show, folks, listen to me, you show what you really delight in by the choices you make. If you're a sports nut, you'll show up and watch sports and sacrifice faithfulness to Jesus. Whether it's local or, I can't imagine, the Cubs, you know, or something like that. I grew up a big Red Machine guy out of Cincinnati area, so I'm a little partial that direction. But I really could care less about sports in comparison to Jesus. I really can't. I just, it really doesn't have any big deal in my brain concerning those things that really, 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 really don't matter. Now be a hoopla, a Cubs fan, a Bears fan. You know, St. Louis, we're not too far away. I get all that. I grew up in a sports home, but not at the expense of your unfaithfulness to the will and working of God. I've had people miss church when I was a pastor for a bowling league. How sad and sorry is that? Or for some political rally. Well, you know, I need to be a good steward. But what about your stewardship to the local church? What about your stewardship to the cause of Christ? It's amazing how quickly we'll cancel out local church activities for whatever comes on our scheduling of events, folks. No, you should hunger and thirst for the things of God and can't wait to get back here on Wednesday. Now, probably I won't see some of you the rest of the week because there's a couple of those stupid games. I didn't like it last year. Okay. Bless your heart. You know what that means, don't you? Yeah. Bless your heart. Stay home and be a carnal carp if you want. Just miss the whole parade and fun of what God's going to do this week. The instruction from the Word of God. Yeah, we'll do some goofy songs. We'll do some silly games. But you know what? You're not coming here for you. You're coming here out of faithfulness to Jesus. You're coming out of here faithfulness to minister unto others, and you just turned into a self-guided Christian. Guess what's the problem? You're trusting in you instead of trusting and obeying your God. Get angry with you if you want, but I'd be glad to talk to you afterwards to help again fix the problem because I'm going to approach it biblically. My question, are you approaching your decision-making process of whatever based on the principles and truths of the Word of God in your trust and obey mindset toward Jesus Christ? That's a mouthful, but that'll preach. Look on down with me at the next word we're going to circle here, commit. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Then circle, if you haven't done it already, trust also in the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass. I just don't understand why my life in Christ isn't as fruitful. Well, maybe it's because you're not making the commitment the way God wants you to be committed. And we can back the card up, can't we? We can back it all the way to the first word we circled, that trust thing. Because when you get in trust mode, you start looking unto Jesus. When you're looking unto Jesus, it's not my will, but thy will be done. And then what happened? God just again honors your faithful looking to him and doing what's right. Man, you get all excited. You're rejoicing in Jesus. You know that person in church just irritates the daylights out of you. Man, they're always smiling. Praise God. Isn't Jesus wonderful? I just want to slap that person. There are people in the church that are that way because they don't understand what you've received by simply making a right choice to trust and obey God. It's that joyous stuff that just comes when you stop looking to your flesh and the world and look unto Jesus. So that's a profanity word to a lot of people, commit. But let me back it up here too. Commit to a ball game, political arena, social gathering, but we won't commit our all in all to the will and working of God through a local church like this. No wonder you're fruitless. No wonder your kids really could care less. No wonder there's no fruit that will last for all eternity. You need to commit yourself unto the Lord and trust also in him. Now, here's a good passage for tonight and the situation we're involved with. Go down with me to verse 7, if you would, please. There are two words that I've kind of hooked together with a line and a circle. It's the word, first of all, rest. Rest in the Lord. And here's what goes along with it. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So again, stop looking to man and rest in the Lord. One of my favorite phrases in the Word of God where it says in the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 2, where God's the lifter up of our head. You remember that Psalm? I think it's Psalm 2. It might be Psalm 3. But you know what? I like that. Because what happens, you get bearing a load that's not yours to bear, it seems like your head goes down and starts staring at your shoes. And you're just walking around going, oh, woe is me. I don't even think God can fix this. Raise it up and look unto Jesus. The other passage of that scripture that really blessed my heart, it says, I laid down and slept. You remember those times where you saw every blimp and problem on your ceiling all night long? Am I the only one that's done that? Where I think I have to fix everything in life before the morning sun comes up. And then I become worse off because I'm tired as all get out. And then I'm just worthless for the day that follows. Folks, when you look unto Jesus and you truly trust and obey him, you can get you a good night's sleep. If you'll just rest in the Lord. Now, the next word, I got a whole message on this word alone. Wait upon God. Let me show this mentioned in this passage. It's right here, verse 34. Would you go there next? In verse 34, it says, wait on the Lord, keep his way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. But the key factor, folks, is wait upon the Lord. Trust. Believe God will do what God says he will do. And wait biblically upon the Lord. Now, you're already at verse 34. I want you to go with me, if you would, and we'll finish out with these verses here tonight. Look at verses 39 and verse 40 of the same passage. Verse 39 and verse 40 of this same passage. It says, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in troubled times. Verse 40, the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from wicked hand, from the wicked and save them. Why? They made a right choice, people. Because they trusted in him. God is not surprised by anything that comes into our lives or into this church. We just got to do our part, don't we? And what God says, hey, I got this. I'm not just clueless to what's happening in your life or any other situation. Let me do what only I can do. And here's the command. Here's the right choice. Trust in me. Would you bow your heads and hearts? That's long enough. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I hope if I could get a pianist maybe and an organ player, we're going to sing a song. I didn't tell Pastor. It just kind of God burdened my heart with this. I want to sing my favorite song in the hymn book. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Say it with me, folks, but trust and obey. You know, as a church, you're gathered together as family. Maybe you just want to come down and pray for the family. Maybe you just want to come down and rejoice in God's ever-present help. Maybe you need to come to this altar and say, God, help me to kill that what-if monster. Help me to stop looking to people or circumstances and make a choice to be looking unto Jesus and delight in Him. Because, folks, you're going to learn this if you haven't yet. You spend time with my Jesus, you'll find that my Jesus, He is trustworthy. Heavenly Father, help us now on this invitation. Help us, Lord, to be open and ready to receive joyfully Your working to our hearts. And God, help folks again not to get all caught up in this, that, or anything else, but get caught up in You tonight and maybe make a renewed commitment to simply trust in You. Now, Lord, they can't do this, as I mentioned, unless they establish a relationship with You through salvation in Christ. Lord, they're not going to heaven because mom and dad are saved. They're not going to heaven because their husband or wife is saved. They're going to heaven, Lord, because they've trusted You as personal Savior. God, if they have not done that, oh God, save their soul this hour. And God, we'll praise and thank You for that saving, blessed work from on high. Help us, Lord, again, as we have this invitation. God, help us just to trust You even on an invitation. Help us not to get caught up or worry about what man may think, but Lord, what You're concerned with, and God, what You order up. We love You, Lord. We thank You now for this opportunity. Help us, Lord, to sing from the bottom of our feet to the top of our head, and Lord, as a commitment or just as a blessed reminder that You are worthy of our trust. We thank You and praise You, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.